Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 12:35 and today is December 4th. I thought it would kick off with this spread because it shows us very graphically the difference between the secured overnight financing rate, which is going to be the replacement for LIBOR, and the Fed funds rate. And it jumped out to 300 basis points back in September. This is a clear example of the illiquidity that had developed in the repo market. There's a whole range of reasons for that. It's down to the fact that you've got more regulation and there are fewer prop trading desks at the major investment banks. That has removed about $500 billion worth of liquidity from the market. And then when you get these occasional periods of illiquidity, then that absence is felt and you start to see rates moving out of whack. There's the additional point that the Federal Reserve had been reducing the size of its balance sheet over the course of the prior 2 years, and had in fact maintained the size of the balance sheet for a couple of years before that contraction. The net effect of that effort was domestically focused. There was an attempt to try and rein in monetary accommodation at the same time that we were seeing the fiscal deficit in the USA expanding. But the knock-on effect of that was that there was a dearth of dollars internationally that helped to also drive up the US dollar as soon as they started reducing the size of the balance sheet. Just pay attention to the dates here. It was right around the end, certainly the last quarter of 2017, when they started to reduce the size of the balance sheet. Now let's look at the dollar index. And right around the end of 2017 was the end of the dollar's decline, and it has been pretty much going up since the beginning of 2018. So we're at an interesting juncture right now. There is a delayed effect in terms of the dollar. The dollar continued to decline into the end of 2017, but the size of the Fed's balance sheet started contracting at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Well, they have started to increase the size of the balance sheet over the last 2 months. There's been a delayed effect in terms of the impact that that's had on the dollar index, but it's now right in the region of the trend mean. Every other occasion on which it has got to this level, it's bounced. There is a chronic shortage of dollars internationally. The Federal Reserve has added in over $300 billion worth of liquidity from its balance sheet. They have had to intervene not just in the bond markets, now in the money markets. And this is a significant departure. It's being underplayed by the vast majority of commentators, particularly in the fixed income markets. There's very much a way of thinking, oh, there's nothing to see here, but that's absolutely not the case. When the Federal Reserve has to inject that quantity of liquidity into the markets, when all other things being equal, and that there is an anticipated additional call on liquidity, they don't have much choice but to provide that liquidity, because the alternative is much worse, that we're looking at the potential for a significant lockup or a seizing up of liquidity in the international money markets. That's something that is completely anathema. There's no way that the Federal Reserve is going to tolerate that kind of risk because of the knock-on effect it would have, not just on the US economy, but on the global economy. Now, they have not yet come out and said that there's a standing repo facility, but that's pretty much the de facto reality of what we have right now. If there is any potential for that spread to start to widen again between the Fed funds rate and the IOER rate, then they have to continue to provide liquidity. Well, that's, I think, one of the primary reasons why we continue to see strength in the S&P 500. the pullback we had yesterday had the chattering classes talking about the end of a bull market, and yet we have a pop back on the upside in here today. This does not look like anything other than a consolidation, and we had a short-term overbought condition. There is nothing to say that we can't yet pull back further. It could easily do that, but we have a sequence of higher reaction lows. We had a lengthy consolidation. We've had a consolidation over a six-month period in the region of the 2018 peak. We had this incredible upside weekly key reversal in June from the region of the trend mean, and really since that occasion we haven't had the market look back. One of the primary fuels that stocks generally tend to have is liquidity. You need to have additional sources of liquidity hitting the market. Well, $300 billion buys a lot of good faith, and that's, I think, what we're now seeing. When we then think about the short-term overbought condition, the market had been rallying for consecutive weeks. There's clear potential for a pause here. But as long as we're holding the breakout, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And that is still not a consensus forecast. There is, I think, a lot of resistance that we're going to continue to see upside here. But the reality is that we've been through a lengthy period of consolidation. It's the third one in the context of a decade-long advance. This is still a reasonably consistent environment. And as long as we continue to see that a consistent trend is a trend in motion, what's been working so far should continue to work as long as the imbalance between supply and demand that is driving this bull market is still present. When it stops repeating, then that tells us that that imbalance has changed. It's at that point we need to pay attention to topping characteristics. And if we ask ourselves, do we have topping characteristics? The answer is no, we do not have acceleration. We have not had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and we haven't had a lengthy period of ranging time and size, a big volatile trading range that something could break down from. If I had to pick one share where there is anything that is looking like a type 3 top, it's Boeing. The market has been going sideways for 2 years. There has been some incredible bouts of volatility, and the range itself is very large. The move from 300 to 450 was a 50% advance, and subsequently being retraced, and then there is a preponderance of downward dynamics. So could this yet break on the upside? Yes, it could. It could still sustain a move above $400 and reassert on the upside. But so far it hasn't done that. And the range of potential and real obstacles to that continue to mount. There was a news story yesterday that an emergency slide fell out of a 767 over Boston for no apparent reason. That's the kind of thing that is rather negative for sentiment. But when we look at the wider market, then the performance of the Russell 2000, the fact that it has so far held this break above 1600 points, I find that really very encouraging. This was an index that has been a serial underperformer, and its absence from the reflation party was certainly a dirty mark in the copybook. It was sort of something that was sitting out there as an outlier, something that was a note of caution for bulls. But the fact that it is now pushing up and through the 1600 point level, that is really very encouraging. Then when we think about the regional banking sector, obviously it is much more domestically focused, and it has bounced in here from the region of the trend mean, and this has broken the downtrend, and it had been trending down, and given up a really quite substantial portion of the previous gain over the course of the last 18 months. But now this does look like it is breaking the downtrend, and it is following the S&P 500 Banks Index, which had itself broken up and away from the range that persisted for most of this year. It's now pausing in the region of the peak from early 2018. Well, generally speaking, with banks doing this well, and with banks returning to performance, then that is also a bullish characteristic. The S&P 500 and Wall Street generally has been the clear outperformer over the course of this bull market, and it is still in form. I think that is by far the most, or the clearest signal that we're getting. Then when we look at what's going on in Europe, there's a lot of change going on right now. The pound was up over a cent in here today. It is pushing up and through this 130 area. It's back above the trend mean, and in fact, it has been consolidating above it for most of the last 6 weeks. This is beginning to price in the potential that there is going to be a resolution to the Brexit saga. The pound is at a new recovery high against the euro. It hasn't been at a high of this level for nearly 2 years. 120 is the big psychological level when we look at it over the course of 5 years. We can, if we look at 10 years of history, we can see clearly that there was a really impressive advance between 2013 and 2015, and it gave up more than that advance in the subsequent decline. But now we're coming up towards the upper side of this base formation, and it is looking a little overbought in the short term. We may yet see some consolidation, and of course the election in the UK is less than a week away, so there is the potential for some volatility, but it is looking like the UK is coming out of what has been a really rather difficult period over the course of the last 3 years. The FTSE 100 is trading at a PE of 15, and that's for the UK's internationally oriented index. It's been ranging above 7,000 now for the last 3 years, and that represents the upper side of the underlying range that persisted for the 16 years previous. It looks like a first step above the base, and it would really need to be taking out the low put in at the end of last year to really question that hypothesis. The market that looks most like it, in fact, is Japan. And this range that's been going on now for nearly 2 years above 20,000 is really very similar, in that the market had been ranging below 20,000 for decades previous to this consolidation forming. So this also looks like a first step above that base formation. Now, when we look at the yen, then the dollar was a little steadier against it in here today. Japan does not want a stronger currency, and this is about where, if the dollar is going to reassert dominance, then we are likely to see it finding support in the current area. The second section index has been a lead indicator for the wider market for a very significant period, and it was firming again in here today. But the more important point is that it is rallying really very impressively from the region of the trend mean. It has broken the two-year downtrend, and this looks like an index that has the potential to do better from here. Then when we think about South Korea, it was the first of the major economies to post a contraction and a slowdown right at the beginning of 2018. As the 11th largest economy in the world, it generally tends to get excluded when people start talking about synchronized global growth, because that generally encompasses the top 10 economies. But the KOSPI index has bounced really rather impressively over the course of, the KOSPI has done better because it had been trending down. The Korean won is weakening here. South Korea needs to boost its exports. They would certainly welcome a weaker currency. When we look at this over the last decade, we can see that the dollar has been putting in a base formation for the better part of a decade, and that we're coming back up towards this 1200 won level. There is the real potential here that we're going to see the won breaking downwards. Well, that is likely to be rather beneficial for Korea's exporting sector. Now, the KOSPI index has been rallying over the course of the last 3 months. It's right in the region of the trend mean. Now the question is whether this weakness in the won is going to act as a support for nominal prices, or whether international investors will hold sway and start to take their money out. This is exactly where, if the index is going to find support, then it needs to happen reasonably soon. Then when we look at the Taiwan dollar, it's been rather quiet over the course of the last few weeks, but it had been strengthening previous to that. Now, when we think about this over a longer period of time, it's been really quite volatile. But the TAIEX, or the Taiwan Stock Exchange Index, has been able to push on to new high ground. It's been led higher by Taiwan Semiconductor. When we then look at about as much history as we can muster, we have another big range, and this time above the 10,000 level. And we have to go back an awfully long way to find the all-time peak, which was all the way back in early 1990. And that was around 12,000. It's looking really quite likely that we're at least going to test that level now and potentially have some consolidation around there. We've certainly seen that there's been some consolidation around historic peaks and a number of markets over the last few years. Arguably, that's exactly what we're seeing with Australia right now. The ASX 200 was down again in a dynamic manner in here today. Certainly this is standing out on the weekly chart. We're right now in the region of the progression of higher reaction lows and the region of the trend mean. If it's going to find support, this is about where we might anticipate that starting to occur. The Australian dollar has been steadier over the last three sessions. Arguably, this is looking like a higher reaction low. We also have a higher high. It hasn't quite yet been able to break back above the trend mean, but if it can muster the wherewithal to do that, well, then we'd be talking about it breaking a two-year downtrend. And then that would, I think, start to suggest that one of the reasons, I guess, that people have been so short of the Australian dollar is because they're using it as a way of shorting China. If the Australian dollar is strengthening, then that would suggest that some of the bets against China are being taken off. Now, when we look at the H-share index, it was in weaker territory in here today, and it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean over the course of the last 6 months. The Hang Seng hasn't broken down, but neither has it been able to break higher, and it has now come back towards this 26,000 point level. There is still a lot of uncertainty about exactly what's going to happen on the trade front. We are really at the mercy of politics here, and that does represent an additional risk premium. A countervailing argument is that central banks are providing ample liquidity, that governments are increasingly moving towards a fiscal stimulus, and those factors are enough to continue to see additional interest moving into these markets. When we then think about how that's affecting other asset classes, gold prices were in mildly negative territory in here today and continue to hold this $1,450 area. Silver was down in a more dynamic manner and posted a downside key reversal. That suggests we are probably going to see some further pullback in consolidation and potentially a pull back towards the $16 area. I think that will probably offer a rather attractive entry opportunity if we were to get that. The platinum price was also in negative territory in here today. The rhodium price is also, I think, worth highlighting because it has been so incredibly resurgent. And it has rallied very significantly in here this year, already up over 100%. When we look at that over the long term, it is still well below the peaks put in 2008, but this is a very thin market indeed. Palladium prices have also still been really very impressive and pushed on to new all-time highs again in here over the last four sessions. We have another now short-term overbought condition, but a clear downward dynamic would be required to suggest we're going to come back and test the sequence of higher reaction lows. What I do suspect is that with the continued efforts to devalue the US dollar, we are going to move into a competitive devaluation scenario. There is nobody wants a stronger currency here. Some do need weaker currencies more than others. That's clearly the case. But it does look increasingly likely that some of the clear fundamental supports for the dollar are being removed. That is, I think, a medium-term bullish phenomenon for precious metals. It's also something that should start to deter investment from the bond market. And despite the rather dynamic move we had yesterday, it did not follow through on the upside in here today, and yields continue to steady around this 1.7% level. Considering the medium-term support for yields we have around 1.5%, I think it is quite likely that that's about as low as we're likely to see over the course of the next year. I think bets are off, though, if we have a recession, and which forces the central bank to be very aggressive in cutting rates. When we look at the yield curve spread, however, then it's currently around 19 basis points. It's not surging higher. And if it were to surge through 50 basis points, then I think we would have to take very seriously any sign of inconsistency in the stock market. But I do think that there is the clear potential that we're going to see additional upside simply because of the quantity of liquidity that's hitting the market. And that is really rather normal, that it's usually after you have an inverted yield curve that you get a very impressive move in the stock market. And seasonally and cyclically, that's generally what we can expect. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.